You might like to look at your outline entitled The Rapture. Listening time is approximately 15 minutes. Now, this is something that is very difficult to talk about with some Christians or people who profess to be a Christian. They say it's not really in the Bible. What is the meaning of the rapture? That's a question we're going to want to answer here. Is rapture a biblical word or term? Let's look at some examples of what I believe are raptures that have already taken place in the scriptures. How about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 through 24, and in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, and Jude, verse 14. All of these make reference to Enoch. He walked with God and was no more. How about Elijah? 2 Kings 2, verses 11 and 12. Many people know this as the chariots of fire that God sent what appeared to be chariots coming to take him. And then he turned his ministry over to Elisha. How about Isaiah? In chapter 6 of Isaiah, you can read about an experience that he had, a vision type of experience of being taken to the throne of God and visualizing and then sharing in scripture what he saw. That's very similar to what happened to Ezekiel in chapter 1, describing the throne room in heaven. How about John on the Isle of Patmos? We read in Revelation 1 and in 4 about his experience of being raptured. How about Paul in Acts 9, verse 49, where he talked about being taken up into the third heaven and wasn't sure exactly what was going on, but what he shares is very similar to what Ezekiel and Isaiah were sharing as well. Now, Ezekiel and Isaiah, John and Paul didn't stay there. Enoch and Elijah did stay there. They did not return, except Elijah returned during the Transfiguration and may return again as one of the two witnesses in the streets of Jerusalem, as we read about in Revelation. Well, let's look under item 2 then. Major Christian beliefs regarding the rapture. There's a pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation view, as well as there is no tribulation. Let's take a look now at the word itself. In the Bible, you will not find rapture unless you look at the Latin Bible, which is called the Vulgate Bible. Raptures is used in that translation. We see it in other places in the scripture, especially in Thessalonians, where words such as caught up, snatched up are used. We also read about where Christ is coming for the church or he's coming with the church. Those prepositions of for and with. Certainly he has to come for the church before he can come with the church. And people have confused those scriptures that talk about that. Coming for his church, he comes in the air, and that's the rapture. And the people are caught up. And there's a lot of detail on that we'll get into when we get into the resurrections and the judgments. So the concept of a rapture is biblical. So let's use some other words to describe it. This is when somebody is still physically alive and are removed from the earth and brought to the presence of the Lord. Why would God remove the church prior to the tribulation? Well, the tribulation is mainly for those who are unbelievers, where God is pouring out his wrath to try to get them to repent, and also working with the nation of Israel. So it doesn't make much sense for the church to go through the tribulation. The mid-tribulation view has to do with the scripture that talks about the Satan going to heaven for the last time and having this battle, and then being cast to the earth, and he's very angry, so he goes to make war with the offspring, which is the nation of Israel. And because of things that are described in there, where the two witnesses that have been preaching since the beginning of the tribulation are killed by the Antichrist, God resurrects them, and then they're raptured to heaven. So they think that's a rapture for everybody else. Now, that's just their particular rapture. Another explanation has to do, and I think we've discussed this in another chapter, there's another explanation what we'll be discussing in another chapter, has to do with the trumpet call of God. the last trumpet. People have misinterpreted the seventh trumpet in Revelation to be the trumpet in Corinthians. It doesn't say that it was the last trumpet. And I believe the trumpet of God is Gabriel, and that's announcing the rapture, which is about to take place. The judgments of the seventh trumpet opens into the bowl judgments, and those are totally two different trumpets, and the context is totally different. People use that because it occurs at the middle of the tribulation to say, well, it has to be then a mid-tribulation rapture. I don't believe that they can make that argument. Post-tribulation doesn't make a lot of sense. The tribulation is over, so people are raptured, the church is raptured to heaven, and then we turn around, make a U-turn, and come right back, and Christ returns, and we have the Battle of Armageddon, and then the millennium begins, and so on. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. Those that don't believe in the tribulation, there's actually another belief today, if you listen to some of the false teachers, say that we're actually in the tribulation right now. Well, they haven't studied Revelation, and they tend to spiritualize a lot of the prophecies in Scripture and believing we're in the tribulation. This is a very, very orderly, peaceful world compared to what the tribulation is going to be. And God is in charge. Yes, Satan's on the rampage, and man's on the rampage against one another, but certainly it's God allowing certain things to happen, plus He's directly involved in these three type of judgments, starting with the seal judgments, opening to the trumpet judgments, and that opening into the bowl judgments. And we'll be studying those in great detail in chapters to come. So let's take a look then at item 3. What does the New Testament teach about the rapture? Well, I mentioned that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, we will see that. About being quickly caught up, taken up, or snatched up. The concept is being translated, which means to be changed, because at that time we receive our glorified bodies. Remember it says in Thessalonians here, those dead in Christ will rise first, followed by those alive in Christ. Now that's physical life. All have to be spiritually alive or they wouldn't be raptured at all. So there are two groups involved, those dead in Christ and those alive in Christ. Now these are both saved. Paul uses the word sometimes sleep as well as dead in Christ, sleep in Christ. And I think he uses that to show us that our body is dead, our soul and our spirit are still alive and in heaven with the Lord, but that that body is going to be resurrected. So it's appearing as though it's asleep, but it's really not. Of course, if people are cremated, it's pretty obvious they're not asleep. So those two groups are involved here. So that's when their bodies are resurrected. That's the other part of the rapture here. Those that are already deceased, their bodies resurrected, translated, being glorified, just like Jesus Christ was when he came out of the tomb. That same body, and we read about it in Revelation chapter 1. We see Jesus as the glorified one. So alive in Christ means that they're still physically alive and they are saved. They are true born-again believers. Now, can we know when the rapture is going to take place? Well, Jesus said he didn't even know, but the Father knew. And so people say, oh no, we can't know at all. But he did say something else. He said it's going to be like birth pains that we read about in Matthew chapter 24. Now, those that are familiar with birth pains will tell you that they get greater in intensity and they come closer together prior to the birth. And of course, he's using this symbolically of what? Of the return of Christ. He also said there are going to be signs of the times. That's the very end of the church age. Now when it talks about the last days in the scriptures, it's referring to the church age itself. You can say the last days of the last days, but just the last days does not refer to a few days before the tribulation begins. So we have to be careful about how the Bible uses that terminology. But signs of the times, when he's talking about the times prior to the rapture, prior to the tribulation beginning, he said there are going to be spiritual signs, political signs, economic, social, knowledge, natural signs. Well, what does this mean? Well, I think the natural are a little more obvious. Earthquakes, famine, things of that nature, tornadoes, hurricanes, whatever. But you see, people say, well, there always have been these things, and that's true, they have been, and they can run in cycles. But in the last several years, we've noticed that the intensity of these is increasing, And they're coming closer together. Certainly the last hurricane season was pretty obvious in this whole issue about natural signs. What about the signs of knowledge? Well, knowledge is exploding exponentially. That means it's doubling on itself more closely together. And I don't know all the statistics on this, but if you just think about computers, you don't have to think too long ago before computers were large things in big rooms, air conditioned. And now they're very tiny, and they're actually more powerful than those great big computers were. And they're much faster as well. There's so much knowledge there that even in various fields, it's hard for the experts to really process it and see what to do with. But you see, God is just opening up that knowledge. And what is man doing? He's believing in himself more and more and more. Social, I don't think I have to mention much of this. How people have lost respect for one another. Children have lost respect for elders. We've seen the immorality escalate, where sin is flaunted on television and is laughed about and becomes entertainment. So society is deteriorating rapidly. As far as the economic is concerned, the world is floating on debt, and one country is in debt to another, and the whole system now is getting linked globally. So when something starts going down, it'll affect many, many nations. There's no sovereignty of a nation anymore. We see that in the political sides, where we're moving more and more to a one-world government. We've seen the uniting of Europe, which was predicted in Scripture. The revived Roman Empire. We've seen it before our very eyes, but people say, well, that's just the 90s and it's just the 2000s. Now it's been forecast in the Scriptures. But what about the spiritual? I listed it first, but left it to last. Let's not look at the world. Let's look at the church. And what do we see? We see people coming to church, and many, many churches have grown to be huge churches. They're coming there to find themselves a friend, to feel good, and pastors are avoiding sin by talking about it because it makes people feel uncomfortable. Well, I'm glad that somebody preached sin to me and I got real uncomfortable. What a tragedy, and having your hand on a burning stove and not feeling uncomfortable, more than just being uncomfortable, in pain. And we look around and people are in pain, terrible, terrible pain, but they're trying to resolve this pain in any other way but spiritually. And some have even turned to false spiritual. And we see that over and over again. It's nothing new. New Age isn't new. It comes right out of Babylon. It comes out of Hinduism. It's really man's search for God. You know, the Scriptures are the opposite. It's God revealing himself to us. God revealing himself to us. The whole Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is really the revelation of Jesus Christ. The entire Bible is about Jesus Christ. We are asleep. Just as many of the Jews, especially the Jewish leaders, were into everything but true Judaism and looking for the Messiah and yearning for his return, they missed his very physical presence. And I'm afraid that's the same thing that's going to happen to many of the people sitting in churches, including many pastors, that when Jesus comes again, they're going to be surprised. And how many will even shake their fists or go to the church the very next Sunday and explain the rapture away, that these were the evil people that were taken away. And now we can really do something because they were our critics. Well, whether you believe in the rapture or not, when the rapture occurs, if you're a believer and you're still alive, you're going to be caught up in the air and translated in the air with the new glorified body. If you've already passed on and your soul and your spirit are present with the Lord, then your body's going to rise up wherever the molecules of your body happens to be, wherever the dust is or whatever condition it's in, and it's going to be reunited with your soul and your spirit. So I praise God for that. And I think Satan is behind a lot of this, because he doesn't want us to know these things. And so our life becomes very difficult. And we don't even think that there's anything beyond the cross except we're going to die and hopefully go to heaven and play a harp sitting on a cloud. This is totally, totally false. So the rapture is a biblical term and it's a very important part of God's plan for restoration. It's one of the final steps in our total restoration. Think about it. I don't know about you, but I need a new body. And think of the things that we're going to be able to do that we can't do in this body. We're going to have vision beyond vision. We're going to have hearing beyond hearing. And we're going to have a mind beyond our mind. We're going to be able to really understand the things of God. And we're going to really be able to tabernacle, to fellowship with God in total freedom without sin. What a glorious time that will be. I praise God for the rapture, and I hope you do too.